mind-changing lady.
I am driven because he is the consummate give-a-damn guy who has lost pretty much everything because he's totally immobile, but he wants to help other people.
He endured the media circus and fallout during Hurricane Katrina after his company exposed Mayor Nagin's missing emails cover-up. Instead of being bitter, my next guest felt there was a better way for we as a community to stop being so self-centered and start giving a damn about each other. Mark Lewis, the author of Give a Damn, is my guest on Self-Talk Radio Show. Brought to you by Pure Energy Apothecary, now offering hand sanitizers and lotions in scented and unscented. Get yours at pureenergybody.com. Mark Lewis, welcome to the show.
You're terrific to have me, Sarah. Thank you.
You're welcome. I wanted to know what propelled you to write Give a Damn.
Well, you know, I've been in business for a long time, and I was just making observations with different CEOs and different people that I work with. And I found some interesting perspectives about how they were really internalizing things to their own benefit. And so then I started making a note about how and what I saw in the environment where people had become more self-centered and self-driven. And I couldn't believe all the different things that I was seeing, so I started recording these on a tape, and then I got to have about 60 pages of recordings, and then what I figured out was I needed to take all the information that I put together along with doing some research and then try to determine where our society was going, because I'm older, and therefore what I did is I looked where we were 50 years ago. And we've made a transition, and then therefore I identified all the things that were going on in today's society that have transitioned to us to a more of a self-serving, self-centered society, and that's actually, to me, gotten bad.
What were some of your observations?
Well, what I was seeing is where people, like, for instance, a perfect example of this in observing in one of my own observations. Now, I was walking across the street, and I kicked this rusty nail. Most people wouldn't pick that rusty nail up, but if it was in the middle of your driveway, what would you do? Well, you would pick it up because you can internalize something that would affect you. And so if you're outside of your domain for the rusty nail, my thinking was, well, I need to pick this up because some person who I didn't know could be driving down the road and pick up that nail in their tire, could have a small child in the back of their car and go down the highway and have a blowout. Well, I didn't want that to happen. So I kept seeing some of these things where people were like blowing grass clippings in the middle of the road. They wouldn't certainly blow those grass clippings in the middle of their driveway and not pick it up, right? So They were doing things that they normally wouldn't do. But if they internalize this and they knew it affected them personally, then they would do something about it. And that kept happening over and over and over again. Person comes up to a red light and they're crossing the street and the light turns green. Well, these people walk right across and don't hurry across the way. When the light's green, they casually do that. But if they were in a hurry or they knew somebody was in a hurry, what would they do? They'd probably hurry across. All these examples came up that caused me to rethink about what we need to think outside our domain instead of internally.
Now, you're right. There are three reasons most people don't actively give a damn. Can you share those?
First of all, yes. The three reasons is they haven't really been learned the give a damn philosophy of what it means to serve others. And so, therefore, they haven't been educated is one reason. And then the second reason is they don't really know how to be able to do it in terms of what it means to give a damn about something and what you get in return. And if they don't know how, they're just not simply aware of their actions. They don't think. They just go about their business, and these actions have an effect on other people, and they really don't know how these actions affect them. And when you don't know, then you don't know what to do about it. But some people may be aware of it, but they don't care. about their actions, and that's where it really becomes self-centered. So between those three, they never learn it, they don't know how, or they don't care.
My guest is Mark Lewis, the author of Give a Damn, and when we come back on Self Talk Radio Show, we're going to find how his company got caught up in the Mayor Nagin missing emails, Hurricane Katrina, and how it cost him dearly when we come back on Self Talk Radio Show. Can't sleep? Have brain fog? Try this. Sleep meditation, soothing meditations to help you stop bad habits, start positive change, and sleep like a baby. Sleepmeditation.org. Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. My guest is the author of Give a Damn, Mark Lewis. Now, you were involved with Mayor Ray Nagin. Can you tell, just refresh our memory, who he was and his impact?
Well, Ray Nagin was the mayor of New Orleans, and I used to run a technology council, and we tried to get with them to have local technology companies do the work for the city of New Orleans. So we kept getting back, and he would never get back. I mean, we had meetings with him. It never panned out. Well, he was the mayor at the time of Katrina, and there was some things going on internally with his office that was improper. So they reached out to the Louisiana Technology Council, which I ran, and wanted us to provide a quote. Now, I normally would never provide a quote. I'd get my technology member companies to do it. But to make a long story short, I wanted to quote it. We quoted it. We won the contract. When we went down there, we told them exactly what we were going to do in terms of recovering the data, because there was a court order that they had to recover the data because there's some improprieties going on.
You said in your blog that there were 60 email accounts and there were two that were missing. Is that what the whole thing was?
Right. So when we recovered all the data, we found that someone had deliberately gone in and deleted two of the 60 mailboxes off the system of the mayor's system. It was Mayor Nagin and the CIO. That was deliberately deleted. Boy, we were in up in arms, like, this can't be right. There's some improprieties, because anything related to the city and the public emails was public record. You can't delete them. Well, they were deliberately deleted, where 58 of them were intact because we could see them. So what
how,
were we
how,
supposed
hang
to
on
do?
A sec. You know, how did you know that they were actually deleted?
Because my experts who were part of our membership company had gone in, and they know how to recover data, and they could see the emails, they could see the improprieties, and they could see that a software was implemented to delete those emails automatically, where the other 58 were intact. We could see them, but we couldn't see the data from those two mailboxes. So a software, they found out some software had actually deliberately deleted the emails.
Wow. So you basically, you had all this evidence that the emails were tampered with, Hurricane Katrina, and then what happened to you and your company in the contract?
Well, what happened was we decided that we had to do something about the data. I couldn't give it back to the city because something was gone wrong. So we contacted the FBI, told them what we were doing. And then we decided to go public with our results, because if you withhold information that's illegal, you could be subject to that same illegalness, as they call it, I guess. So we went public with the results. Well, boy, that didn't go over well. We got sued. I will tell you a story that the day before we were to go public with the results, I get a call from my son. My son said, "Dad, did you change the door locks into the house?" I said, "No, why would I do that?" Well, what had happened is someone had deliberately squirted super glue in all my 8 exterior door locks the day before we went public.
Wow.
So that was like, wow, who did this? I was in a really quiet neighborhood. We went public. The bottom line was that the data that we recovered and gave it to the FBI was the really determining factor that put Ray Nagin in jail for 10 years.
What was some of the evidence that was discovered?
I never saw it. All I could tell you was that were 18,000 email store items and calendar items that justified the case that the FBI could, and I'm guessing this, could pinpoint some of the data that they had or circumstances that they had, matched it with the emails, and they could put that whole case together.
Wow. How long was Ray Nagin in jail for?
Well, he went to jail. He's been in jail now 6 years. I think after he's got another 4 years left or 2 years left. I don't remember what the time frame is before he gets out. He tried to appeal. It didn't work. But I think he's been in jail for about 6 or 7 years now. Another 3 years, I think he gets out.
And what happened to your company as a result of all this?
Well, to be honest with you, we got a lot of good PR because everybody was cheering for us. They knew some things were wrong. My board didn't like it because they thought it was negative publicity. But at the end of the day, my thinking was you have to do the right thing. When you do the right thing, you may suffer the consequences, but it's the right thing. I couldn't, in my mind, keep that data, although people told me to do that. I didn't want to do that. But at the end of the day, I did what was right for not only the city of New Orleans, but for our member companies. So we came out okay. People were proud of what we did. And at the end of the day, again, like I said, it was the right thing to do. And I suffered some consequences of it because of it.
Yeah, hindsight being 2020, would you have done things differently?
No, I would have done exactly the same thing because the truth had to come out. As painful as it was for some of the things that I had to go through with my house, I had to put some new video monitoring systems in my house to protect it. My family suffered because of it in a way. My daughter, who at the time was 12, had to go live with her mother at the time because we were going through a divorce. So there was a lot of things that caused me pain, but that was the right thing to do.
Was your divorce connected to all the stress that was going on with all of this?
I think it contributed to some of it. We tried to work some things out prior to that, but at the end of the day, it was something that didn't work out. Actually, from a perspective after looking upon it, I remarried about 6-7 years ago, and I've met the most wonderful woman you could possibly ever imagine that has been just a godsend for me. Because at the end of the day, I always tell my kids, it's never as bad as it seems, and it's never as good as it seems either. There is a middle ground, and everything always works out for the best. If you do the right things and continue to help and support people, it's going to come back to you in many ways. Just don't ever expect it. That's when the self-centeredness comes in. If you do something with the expectation of getting something in return, that's selfish. You do it because it's the right thing to do, and you move on, and guess what? It's going to come back.
Now, COVID-19 has turned the world upside down, but you actually see this as a gift. We're going to find out more about that when we come back on Self-Talk Radio Show.
Ready to create your own podcast? Not sure where to begin? Start with WebHelp US. They built Self-Talk Radio Show's site and the site for I Love Old Time Radio Show, now boasting over 100,000 downloads. Why not have them build yours? WebHelpUS.com.
Welcome back to Self-Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. My guest is Mark Lewis, the author of Give a Damn. And you're saying that the COVID-19 might have a silver lining. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah. Obviously, I'm not discounting what's going on with the pandemic. There's a lot of illnesses and a lot of deaths, a lot of stress. But when I go back and look at it, and people are going through a lot of hardship, and believe me, I'm not discounting that at all. But when I go back and look at what's the silver lining here, well, I think the silver lining is now that we're being more connected as a family, because of technology and because of other factors, we have been not as communicative with our loved ones or with family members, and now we're forced to do that. So now we're forced to be closer to our family, and I think that's a big positive because I think the family unit has been separate because of technology, because of media, social media, and because of other factors. So I think that's a positive. I think the leaders of the world are now getting together, and it's not about race, ethnicity, religious affiliation, or political views. They're working together for a common cause, and that's to fight this pandemic and to get it right and to get a vaccine and to do the social distancing. I think those are the key components about all this. My fear is I wish that we continue along this path. We work together, set aside our prejudices and our differences, because that's what everybody's doing from that perspective. So that's the silver lining that I see.
Yes. And do you see that our culture transforming from a competitive to a cooperative landscape?
I'm seeing that. I think everybody sees that. The danger is relaxing and going back. And when we get overly competitive, we have the sense that I have to win. I have to beat you. It's my ego. And if I don't, then I'm less of a person. We have to learn to be more empathetic, to be more caring, to be more cooperative, and everybody can win. Where we get to the point, and it's simple, when you look at Congress and the government, they're so polarized. Now they're kind of working together, but I see glimpses of some of these things where it may go back. I don't want that to happen. We need to understand that if you look at some other people's perspective, and I always transform something. So if I'm talking to somebody, I try to step into their shoes and see what they see versus being so closed-minded. If we can step into each other person's and see what they see and just not be so defensive as being wrong, maybe there's some good points. Let's be cooperative, empathetic, and work together. You can't please everybody. But if you can please the majority, then you have a win-win.
How has writing Give a Damn changed your life?
It has put me on a mission over the last 3 or 4 years, because what I see is I feel so good when I'm able to help somebody. At the bottom line, when you help somebody and they improve their lives, that's a great feeling. I want to continue that going forward. I'm going to be doing this for as long as I can. I want to improve the culture of today's society where we have responsibilities and duties and to help serve others. Because when we help serve others, we win and they win. Altruism, not to the point where it's detrimental to you, is a good way to live your life. It helps improve lives. Like, for instance, people, I don't know if you know this or not, but people who are more religious are better off and they actually live longer than those people who are not. There was a study done by Ohio State. A doctor in my book says a lot of times he recommends to go out and volunteer because it reduces the stress, it makes you feel good, and when you volunteer, you feel happier. Well, my goal is to take less stress off people, make them happier, and by doing that, they're going to live longer. So my life has changed to help change society to make it a more cultural, empathetic, serving, selfless society.
What was your favorite chapter to write in the book?
Oh, boy, that's a really good question. I'd have to go back and look at each chapter and how to write. But you know what my best feeling about writing this book, to be honest with you, in the second go-around, was I met and I become friends with Steve Gleason. He is the famous New Orleans Saints football player who got ALS and now is totally immobile. I don't know if you've seen that, know who he is.
Yes.
But what I like is that he wrote my opening foreword to the book, and that's probably my favorite part of the whole book, because he gave me something to really shoot for. And he answered some questions, is that he is there to help people who have ALS live a better life. So he's implemented all this technology. And in the foreword of the book, he talks about growing up and how what he learned from his parents and how he wants to help others. This guy, everything he's been through, and he generates millions to help people have technology. He drives a wheelchair with his eyes. He got Microsoft to go and develop this software technology where he can control his wheelchair with his eyes, because from his head up, from his head down, he's totally immobile.
Wow.
So I am driven because he is the consummate give-a-damn guy who has lost pretty much everything because he's totally immobile, but he wants to help other people. And that's what drives me, the ability to go ahead and create and help teams for the betterment of others. I guess you could say the chapter that I wrote on teamwork and what people do to work together brings everybody up.
Absolutely. Who would benefit most from reading your book?
Well, my general thought would be everybody, but that's not, that can't happen. There are a lot of people that could benefit by reading the book, and what my goal is to get this hands in as many people as I can to help them change their thinking. But the challenge is we all have our habits, and those habits are hard to change. If you think, and I wear this give-a-damn wristband because I'm not always good at it. Sometimes I need to continue to be reminded. But with the understanding that if you do good for others, it's going to help them. And at the end of the day, you're going to get something out of it. If you don't expect it, but it's going to happen. So I would say, you know, if I could get this book, and one of my follow-up books in terms of writing this, Sarah, is to write a kid's book. It's going to be called Give a Darn, because we need to teach our kids at a really early age what it means to be respectful, to collaborate, to work together. Some of these things are being taught in school, but I think there needs to be a greater emphasis on morals, responsibility, respect, everything that can improve today's society and working together, I think, is my goal.
I was going to ask you, have you gotten much pushback on the title of the book?
You know, there's two people that have pushed back on it. One is my twin sister. She thinks it's a little harsh. And I had one other business associate thought it was a little harsh. But I go back, and I had a little, about a 13-year-old asked me this. Give a damn seems kind of harsh. It's strange. And I said, well, you know, here's how I fixed that, or here's how I came to the conclusion. I asked my mom, who's now deceased, if she would be offended by the slogan. And then I prayed upon it, and I asked God. I said, God, this is a tough word. What are your thoughts? And what I got back in response is this. It is a catchy phrase. We need people to be reminded about it, and you're not using it in vain. You're using it to make a point to help change society, and that's the theme. Give a damn, the ticket to cultural change is a societal change that I think needs to happen to improve everybody's life. So I said, I'm going forward with the slogan.
I think it's a good move. Where can we learn more about you and your book?
Well, you can go to my website at giveadamnbook.com. You can certainly call me. I'm happy to give out my number if anybody wants to call me or wants to learn more. It's area code 504-905-4646. They can go to the website and join the Give a Damn movement. There's an American Accountability Pledge. I also have a Congressional Accountability Pledge. That's the story for another day, where I sent that to everybody, but nobody in Congress got back to me. I need for Congress to read this book, and that's what I'm trying to do. Hopefully you'll see me in Washington, D.C. in a couple months making this initiative for them to do it, because they need it more than anybody, I think, in terms of cooperating. But that's the way to get it. GiveADamnBook.com, or they can buy the book on Amazon if they want as well.
That's fantastic. Mark Lewis has been my guest on Self Talk Radio Show. And of course, we'll have links to all of his materials on our website, selftalkradioshow.com. Mark, thank you so much for being on the show.
You have been so terrific. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your support. And you are one that truly does give a damn.
Aw, thank you. I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show. If you're a fan of Self Talk Radio Show, head out to our Facebook page, take a picture of yourself listening to the show, and you could win yourself a $25 gift card courtesy of Pure Energy Apothecary or one of our guests or sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to Self Talk Radio Show, Mind Changing Radio, where you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course at selftalkradioshow.com.